I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
And we are coming to you live from the Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loan Studios. Rocket Mortgage with you every step of the way to provide a seamless mortgage experience. It's the Ken Carmen Show on CBS Sports Radio, 855-212-4CBS, 855-212-4227. Send the tweets, send the hot takes at Ken Carmen, C-A-R-M-A-N. And since I didn't get a chance to do it last hour, I better make sure I do it again. CBS Sports Radio's toll-free line, just like I told you, 855-212-4227. It's brought to you by Geico. Here's a quick way you can save money. You switch to Geico, go to geico.com, and in 15 minutes, you can save 15% or more on car insurance. Also, tomorrow, Sunday, it's an NFL doubleheader on CBS, with many of you seeing two of the most dynamic young quarterbacks in the game airing it out, when Mahomes and the Chiefs welcome Watson and the Texans, followed by the Cowboys visiting the Jets. It all begins with JB and the guys getting you focused for football in the NFL today at noon Eastern, 9 Pacific, on CBS. Already people getting it. Billy Jack just ripped it right down. Says, bye, dude, getting rid of it.
We have a segment to do here I have to get ready for.
We do have a segment to do here that we have to get ready for. Plenty of reaction coming into what I said about The Office. And we will be posting that CBSSportsRadio.com. CBSSportsRadio.com. Also, Patrick says, agree with your Office take. Jerry Seinfeld's character is pretty unredeemable as well. All things considered, goat show, though. What I love about Seinfeld so much is that there's never a serious episode. Like, there were serious episodes or there were serious things that did happen on The Office. It was set around a crazier premise. I think they're a little bit more connected. I agree a little bit with Patrick here. I think they're a little bit more connected than we think, even though one's a mockumentary. Yet, what makes Seinfeld great is that they're bad people, and you know they're bad people. Like, ultimately, they're not that great. Like Kramer tries to be a good guy, but then he ultimately gets weighed down. George is not a good guy, and I think is unapologetically a good guy. Elaine tries. Jerry is very, I will give him credit, he does a lot for charity, it seems, throughout the entire show. But there's never, what makes Seinfeld so great is through the entire run, like there was an episode of Roseanne where John Goodman punches a hole in the wall. And then towards the end, it got really crazy and they were flipping couches and going after each other. It was nuts. It was like Mankind and the Undertaker at the end. With Seinfeld, there was never a very special episode of Seinfeld. Elaine's father is back. Possibly for the last time. It's a very special episode of Seinfeld on must-see TV Thursday on NBC. It was never like that. That's what was great about that show. 855-212-4CBS. Coming up in a bit, you got a ton of cash. You're shaping lives of young people. Everybody worships you on a Saturday. Why the hell would you want to go and coach on a Sunday? But right now, it's time for the Week 6 preview. Hit it! D-Ben is out. Ryan Hickey takes over. Hickey, away we go for Week 6.
All right, Ken. So, in London, you have the Panthers 3-2 taking on the Buccaneers.
Pardon me, where?
In London.
Okay. Is that your attempt at an accent?
Yes, I tried.
I want to get that down before you do that on a national radio show. Moving on, buddy. Go ahead.
All right. So, the Panthers 3-2 taking on the Buccaneers. A little rejuvenated Jameis Winston, who are 2-3. Panthers favored by 2 points so far. 9:30 a.m. on the East Coast kick. Who do you got?
Is Jameis famous again, or is he just still nefarious? You know, for everybody who loves Todd Monken in Cleveland, Evan Silva, who, by the way, Evan Silva wasn't going to take a Hickey's call. Someone tweeted Evan Silva and go after him for that.
He texted me back at 2:30 on Friday morning saying, sorry for the delay response. I will come on. But by that point, we already had Jason Lock and Forrest.
That bastard. All right, I'll try to get from him. We'll try to get with him next week because I love Evan. And establishtherun.com. He's got a great website and he's a good guy, and I really enjoy Evan. I wonder now if losing Todd Monken was the best thing for Jameis Winston. Just because you can heave-ho it down the field doesn't mean it's always the best thing to do. And Jameis Winston could definitely heave-ho it down the field. But I got to give so much credit to Kyle Allen, and I got to give a lot of credit to Ron Rivera. They've taken that team from 0-2, and Rivera's gone at the end of the year. Cam Newton's going to retire. And maybe it's a little bit of beginner's luck because you're going to have a little bit more film on Kyle Allen. But to get guys motivated after an 0-2 start, I want to give Ron Rivera credit. I don't think he's the greatest coach in the world. I think that calling him Riverboat Ron is possibly the stupidest nickname ever because I don't think that he's that much of a gambler. But I think that he's done a fabulous job as an NFL head coach. And this may still very well be his final year, but you're seeing just how good of a coaching job Ron Rivera can do with this current Carolina Panthers team. It's at, well, technically it's at London. I would give it to the team. I would still get it. Boy, the coaching matchup is pretty fair. I want to take the veteran quarterback. I'm going to put faith in Jameis Winston at 9:30 a.m. on Sunday morning. I'm going to take Jameis Winston and the Buccaneers. Hick?
All right, probably the best quarterback matchup of the weekend. Texans traveling to the Chiefs. You have Deshaun Watson versus Patrick Mahomes. Now, obviously, Mahomes' ankle, he hurt against the Colts last week as that Chiefs team was humbled. Mm-hmm. Their first loss of the season. KC, though, 4-point favorites hosting the Texans.
Offensive line becoming a problem for the Kansas City Chiefs. And plenty of people want to point fingers at Cam Irving because it was his foot. He's playing out of position. The guy should be playing a guard position. And injuries, even though the offensive line sustained tons of them last year, now they're finally catching up with the Kansas City Chiefs because when you lose Fisher, you lose a bit. Houston has a great pass rush. We always know that. We always assume that going in. This is a battle of two quarterbacks. I can't see Kansas City, though, losing two games in a row at home. I think Kansas City gets back on track. I think with what the Texans are doing, they will lose a tight football game, but they'll lose it nonetheless, and people will again be calling for Bill O'Brien because they're expected to do great things in Houston, and you can't afford to lose any games when it comes to being the Houston Texans. Next.
Eagles 3-2 on the year, obviously plagued by injuries and drops at the receiver position. Going to Minnesota, taking on the also 3-2 Vikings. Minnesota 3-point favorites. Kirk Cousins, as we know, struggles to play well against any good teams. Minnesota laying 3.
And who was the one talking trash about Kirk Cousins?
Zach Brown, a former teammate.
Thank you.
Now an Eagles linebacker.
That's right. And I don't think that matters at all on Kirk Cousins. If Zach Brown has a great game and the Eagles roll, it's going to be because Kirk Cousins isn't that good and because Minnesota isn't that good overall. It's not because Zach Brown decided to talk trash about Kirk Cousins. And if Kirk Cousins goes out there and throws for 280, because he can still do that every time we count him out, and throws for 3 touchdowns or 2 touchdowns, and they win that football game, and they end up getting things back on track, it's not going to be because Zach Brown said anything about Kirk Cousins. I think momentum and motivation are overrated things in the NFL. That's why we love the NFL. Cold, calculated winning, cohesion, play. High school football, college football, I think it does mean a great deal. It might sharpen focus a bit, but I just don't believe it has anything or any bit as much of a bearing on it than what it would in college and high school. So I'm not going to give that. Minnesota's back at home. They're 3-2. Jason Lockenfor earlier today said that he feels that the Adam Thielen thing and the Stephon Diggs questions kind of cleared the air for them. Now, they got back on track against not a great team in the Giants last week. Can they do the same against this Philadelphia Eagles team? Neither team out of the woods. I want to go with the home squad. I like Mike Zimmer. I'm going to go Vikings. Next.
Saints been impressive 4-1 so far. They've played well even without Drew Brees. Teddy Bridgewater leading the Saints, leaving the dome, leaving the safe confines of the Mercedes-Benz Superdome to go into Jacksonville. Minshew Mania, 2-3 with the Jags. How about this? Jaguars.
When's the other
home
shoe drop? Go ahead. Jaguars at home, what?
1-point favorites.
What?
This is what I'm reading right here. Jacksonville -1, hosting the 4-1
against
Saints.
New Orleans?
Against New Orleans. I guess they are assuming when the Saints leave the dome, they're a different team.
It's Teddy Bridgewater.
They won
you're right.
Seattle a few weeks ago.
Yeah.
The Saints.
Boy,
that,
a lot of. Well,
you
always have to remember, it's not necessary. Lines are set up. Did that line change throughout the week?
I just have the current one. Let me see if it's
because lines are set up to move dollars. It's not the best indication of who's good and who's not. We always take it that way. Lines are set up to put even money out there so the house can win. Boy, if that line moved, I'm flat out taking New Orleans. The shoe's got to drop on Gardner Minshew at some point there.
So according to a different website, the Jaguars actually, it was opened at a pick'em. And then moved to Jaguars minus 2.5. Is
Teddy
website.
Bridgewater had 4 touchdowns last week and they won, right? And this is a pick'em now?
It's a pick'em according to one.
All right, I'm taking, record this and we'll see if we play it back next week. I'm taking New Orleans straight the bleep up. Go ahead, next. Silly. Go.
All right, let's go to your backyard. The Seahawks, 4-1, have been impressive this year with Russell Wilson. Going to the dog pound, taking on the 2-3 Browns. Like I said, the Browns are due for a good game. They've played bad, played good, played bad, played good, now played really bad on Monday night. Can they play good to get back to 3-3? Seahawks coming from Seattle, a 1.5-point favorite.
Well, you see, the problem is that one team has Russell Wilson, the other one has Baker Mayfield, who's off to a rough start in his second season. One team has veterans who have been there before, and Russell and Bobby Wagner and a couple of others, and they know what it takes to get that job done. The Browns are still learning. See, the problem with the Browns, again, and I said this at the top of the hour at noon Eastern, 9 Pacific, you have faces. You don't have an identity. You have faces. You don't have leaders. The Seahawks have leaders. They have an identity. You don't. And it's going to take a game against Seattle to find one. You need to be pounded out by good veteran teams so you can sharpen yourself and find that identity. You'll probably get pounded out. People will freak out. But I'm taking Seattle in Cleveland. The Browns go to 0-3 at First Energy Stadium to start off 2019. The worst part about this is, though, you need a win so desperately because... And the Browns can beat Seattle. They have the talent. They do. That's what makes this so frustrating. But you need that win badly because you go out to Gillette after the bye week. Good luck with that one. Next!
Little AFC North rivalry game. Bengals, one of 4 winless teams. 0-5 on the air, traveling to Baltimore to take on the 3-2 Ravens. Baltimore, how about this? 12-point favorites at home.
Well, it's because Cincinnati's terrible. But over the last 3 weeks, this is a weird kind of game because if Baltimore wins close, I don't know how much credit they get. I don't think you should ever apologize for wins. But in our business, we love to talk about style points, even though there's no such thing. And it would be, if Baltimore wins closely, this would mean that Lamar Jackson had another rough game. If you've looked at it, and don't just look at the box scores, first half against Kansas City, the first 3.5 quarters until the Browns took their foot off the gas in the game against Cleveland, and then last week, Lamar Jackson has not played very well. And it seems as if, dare we say, that defenses might be starting to figure things out a little bit. Is that unfair, Hick?
Very fair. Absolutely very fair.
Thank you very much. As I take a swig of my nice water. I'm going to take Baltimore just flat out because they should win this game and should win this game handedly. John Harbaugh is a pro coach. This team should be, if they're who we think they're supposed to be, they should win this game and win it easily. Even in a close win, you're going to be paying attention to Lamar Jackson in this offense because that defense has got to get their affairs in order. Next.
The must-watch game of the weekend. The 0-5 Redskins traveling to Miami to take on the 0-4 Dolphins. Obviously, Washington coming off of the firing of Jay Gruden. Maybe that will light a spark under them. They'll have Case Keenum back under center with Dwayne Haskins as the backup. And the Dolphins, I don't even know if they're trying to win this year, to be honest.
They may
not trying to be.
The Redskins are
3.5-point favorites heading to Miami.
I think they need to get Jesse Palmer and Jay Fiedler to play quarterback for this game. Have it a throwback day.
I'd be
into
that.
That well, there you go. That way people would be interested in what they're doing. Washington has bigger problems. Miami's not even trying to win. Next. That's an easy one. See, that's what makes tanking better is that when we do this, I can just say neither team's not trying to win, so we can move on. Next. Well, Bill Callahan is trying to win, so go ahead.
All right. How about a nice prove-it game in the NFC
So,
West?
By the way, Washington wins because they're actually trying. Sorry, go ahead. You can go.
Yeah, you're fine. Jeez, please. 49ers 4-0. Traveling to Los Angeles, take on the 3-2 Rams. Rams have dropped 2 games in a row. Todd Gurley looks like will probably not play, listed as doubtful.
Yeah.
Still up in the air, but doesn't look like he'll play.
I tell you what, I saw it myself. What's the spread here?
3.5 favoring the Rams.
Okay, they're home, so that makes sense. I saw it myself. Kyle Shanahan, I don't know. I wouldn't call him a motivator. I think he's kind of like Kyle Shanahan 3000, kind of like what Jim Rome used to call John Olerud, CP3 Olerud. San Francisco, though, their run scheme is fantastic. And I think that they take your will away because they scheme up the run so well and they move their offensive linemen. If they have offensive line problems, they hide it very well. Because if you have offensive line problems, you better run the ball. Because it comes down to execution and you get people moving their natural direction, which is forward. So if you're running the football and you have offensive line problems, you can mask that. I don't know if San Francisco has an offensive line problem, and I wouldn't say that they do, even though you had a couple of guys hurt like Joe Staley, because then all of a sudden you turn around and Jimmy Garoppolo is able to give you a nice 100.5, 200-yard game, and they're winning these football games. They're 4-0. You got to take them seriously at 4-0. You won a month of football games. I'm supposed to say it's just your opponents that you played? That's garbage. This isn't college football. I'll take San Francisco seriously. Los Angeles, this becomes a watershed. People are questioning. Lock and Fora was questioning earlier today. People are going to hit a panic button now if you lose this football game. Next. I'm taking San Francisco, by the way. Next.
San Francisco. How about the Falcons? 1-4 in the year, going to Arizona, taking on the 1-3-1 Cardinals. Fair to say probably the Falcons have been the most disappointing team so far. And possibly Dan Quinn may be coaching for his job. Who knows? If they lose this game.
This could be a coming out party for Kyler Murray. This could be a coming out party for Kyler Murray and Cliff Kingsbury. They want to ratchet up the offense. It sputtered a bit because they're still not that talented. And you're taking on Dan Quinn and a defense that gave up 53 points last week. Dan Quinn is coaching for his job. Now, Arthur Blank can be a very patient man at times. He's been that way with his general manager and his head coaches in the past. But I think Arizona at home, if they win this, Dan Quinn's ass could be in the sling. I'm still going to take Atlanta, though, on the road. They still have too many weapons. There's still two veteran. I'll take them to – they're not going to right the ship. They're going to be 2-4, but I'll take them to take it. Next.
Titans 2-3 on the year, traveling to the 1-4 Broncos. Broncos getting their first win of the year last week against the Chargers. 2.5 points the Broncos are giving at home.
Tennessee's still looking for the run. Denver's looking for anything. I don't want to give John Elway credit for anything. Denver from last week, though, I want to see how they come off a win. The weather's inclement. I'm taking Denver. Next.
Cowboys dropped two games in a row after that nice 3-0 start for them. 3-2 going to MetLife Stadium to take on the 0-4 Jets. Sam Darnold does return a quarterback for New York, but Dallas still heads on the road as 7.5-point favorites.
Well, I don't know if Dallas covers the number, but Dallas comes away with the win. Sam Darnold's probably not going to be in great game shape. He's probably going to be a little bit tired in that game, and he doesn't have very much, by the way, of talent around him. I think New York ends up getting booed off the field at halftime. But Dallas ends up doing Dallas things. They'll sit on the ball because that's what Jason Garrett does. They'll probably win this game by 6, and it'll still be 0-5 for the Jets, and they'll have righted a couple of things by the Dallas Cowboys. Next.
A matchup that looked a lot better in the offseason than it does right now. Steelers on Sunday Night Football, 1-4, going on the road to take on the 2-3 Chargers. You'll have Devlin Hodges starting for Pittsburgh under center. And again, the Chargers coming off a home loss to the Broncos last week. I'm sure there'll be a lot of Pittsburgh fans in the stands. Who knows how much impact that will have. Chargers, 7-point favorites.
This is coming at the perfect time. Anthony Lynn is still right there entrenched with the Chargers. Now we're talking about Mike Tomlin being traded to the Washington Redskins. Every distraction you could throw at the Steelers are there, including their third team quarterback. The Chargers should win this game in a whitewash. Next.
And finally, Monday Night Football matchup, the surprise Lions, 2-1-1 on the year, going to Lambeau, taking on the 4-1 Packers. Obviously, that offense still is sort of, you know, not been what you think for LaFleur and Rodgers, but Green Bay heading to this game is 4.5-point favorites.
Mike Pettine's defense, baby. Pet, baby, pet. Going to be head coach again in the NFL. You know that, Hick. You know that.
Question is where, more than if, right?
Well, you know, just as long as he doesn't hire Jim O'Neill and the rest of his buddies, he should be okay, and the ownership doesn't draft Johnny Manziel, he should be okay. I love Mike Pettine. I love him. But you know what? I'm starting to draw a real affinity for Matt Patricia's Lions. They're finding identity. For the first time in like 3 years, I can say they're more than styrofoam. Some nice defense. Matt Stafford trying to lead. They had a tough one 2 weeks ago against Kansas City. I think they atoned for it. They're going into Green Bay, and for only like the first time since 1957, or second time since 1957 or whatever it is, I think that Detroit on a Monday night goes to Green Bay. And yeah, probably still loses. But you know what? I'm going to take Detroit in an upset. There's week 6. Well done, Hickey. How'd you feel about that, bud?
Good. I like the idea a lot. You and Tommy have a great production there.
Thank you very much. It's a wonderful, wonderful thing that we like to do together. 855-212-4CBS. Up next, you got a ton of cash. You shape lives of young people. Everybody loves you on a Saturday. Why would you want to give all that up to be hated on a Sunday? Unless you're Urban Meyer. It's Ken Carmen on CBS Sports Radio.
You're listening to Ken Carmen on CBS Sports Radio.
855-212-4CBS, 855-212-4227. You feel very passionate about your favorite NFL team. You love your favorite NFL team. They're part of you. They're part of your family. They're part of the fabric that makes you you. And you want an owner that feels the exact same way you do. It only makes sense. Except when you look at every example of all the owners that do feel like fans, can you really find a winner? Where did you find it with Jerry Jones? Where did you find it with Dan Snyder? How often do we find it in situations like Georgia Frontieri? How often do we find it in situations even with guys like Robert Kraft who do what's best for business for their team? Yes, he loves his team. I think he's a fan of Tom Brady. I think he's friends with Tom Brady and certainly with Bill Belichick. But remember, when he hired them both, it was boobish, it was silly, it was considered to be a terrible ownership move, it was considered to be the worst thing possible. Six championships later, it's part of the great triumvirate that's probably the best dynasty in sports history, at least in professional sports history, in the modern era. It could very well be for a long time. I see Dan Snyder, I think of Albert Haynesworth and $100 million and not being able to pass a fitness test. I see Steve Spurrier, I see Shanahan, I see failure, I see very bad things going down. And it's for that reason, if I were Mike Tomlin, and you're talking about trading me, giving up picks, by the way, because I need talent still on that football team. Defense isn't that bad, but I still need talent on that football team. You're going to talk about trading me to go to Washington, maybe a press box and a nice TV gig looks better and better and better. 855-212-4CBS. Up next, you say you want a fan as an owner. I think that's the worst thing ever for your favorite football team, and it makes sense for one former college guy to at least name his price for Dan Snyder. It's Ken Carmen on CBS Sports Radio.
You're listening to Ken Carmen on CBS Sports Radio.
Final segment of the day, final segment of the show. Not the final segment of the day. Obviously, Lima will be up coming up here in about 20 minutes. 855-212-4CBS, 855-212-4227. Send the tweets at Ken Carmen, C-A-R-M-A-N. I was watching Urban Meyer a couple hours ago, getting ready for the Oklahoma and Texas game. And I mentioned this at the beginning of the show. He looks great on TV. He's got such a command. There are definitely skeletons in that closet, don't get me wrong. But there's also something missing in that closet, and that's another championship. Because anytime you try to break it down to this generation, Urban Meyer's up there. Urban Meyer is in the conversation, but he's not numero uno. And I don't think he ever will be numero uno. Nick Saban has that on lock, and maybe even by the time it's all said and done, Dabo Sweeney's going to surpass him. I think there'd be plenty of people who want to say Dabo Sweeney's already better. We'll see how the Roy bus goes coming up here soon. Yet I think there's one way that Urban Meyer might be able to get over it. When Urban Meyer won again against Michigan and then retired, stepped away because of health purposes again, I looked at Jim Harbaugh and I said, you know, you could beat Ohio State in the future. It's never going to be beating Urban Meyer. You never would have done. You never, ever, ever did it. You weren't brought to Michigan to beat just Ryan Day. You want to beat Ohio State, obviously, even though Jim Harbaugh doesn't make a big enough deal about it, according to Braylon Edwards and a lot of guys who went to Michigan, but that's a different conversation altogether. But you were brought to Michigan to beat Ohio State, notably to beat Urban Meyer. You didn't do that, and you're always going to be 0-4, no matter what. Unless Urban comes back, you're always going to be 0-4 in that situation. That's going to eat at him for the rest of his life. I don't care what anybody says, he's a competitor. For Urban, who's a very competitive guy and still in his mid-50s, still has plenty of life left, I still think you can find a doctor to tell you what you want to hear. I still believe in the proliferation of medical science. I still wonder whether or not it's all together. And I'm sorry, I just have to recklessly speculate. I don't mean to go after medical records over here, but I still have to wonder, okay, is it that bad? because you were under a lot of scrutiny by the time it was all done at Ohio State. And I go, gosh, when it ends like that, you don't want it to end like that. That last season still marred. I know you won, and you got a Rose Bowl, and you beat Michigan, but boy, it still seems to be like something's missing, and you're going to live probably 90-plus years from the way it seems, and you're going to live the next 40-some-odd years of your life kind of wondering? I don't think you want to do that. But you don't want to go back to college because you like Ohio State, and even though you might not get along with Gene Smith by the time it's all done, maybe you still like Ohio State, and you like the state of Ohio, and you want to keep that reputation. Okay, that's fair. So maybe you don't want to go to USC like I want you to. Maybe you don't want to go to Notre Dame because then you're definitely recruiting right across from Ohio State. Maybe you don't want to do those things. But I got something for you. How about this? Instead of Saturdays, how about Sundays? How about an owner who's desperate to win? How about a guy who's desperate to put you in a uniform and to create more buzz, to help out his young quarterback, to be able to conduct an offense, conduct special teams? We know you love special teams, Herb. Conduct special teams and go out and save his franchise. Go out and win for his franchise. I know he's already tried it once, but what's to say that this one won't work out? You got Dwayne Haskins. Urban Meyer was already coaching Dwayne Haskins. And if you're Urban Meyer, you can't help but listen, because Dan Snyder's the type of guy that if Dan Snyder thinks it's possible, and Jason Lockenfora made a great point earlier today, said, yeah, you know, Greg Williams is possibly in the mix for that. Todd Bowles would be in the mix for that. Mike Tomlin would be certainly the front runner for that. Those are good, solid NFL choices. Greg Williams is kind of nuts, but he's still a good football coach. These are good, solid football choices, but I don't know if Dan Snyder thinks that way, because he thinks like a fan, and fans want to make a splash. Right now on 106.7 The Fan in Washington, they talk about plenty of different possibilities, and they get pie in the sky crazy because they're fans, and Dan Snyder's a fan too. And Urban, this is the perfect mix, because just like Jim Harbaugh couldn't get over you and will never be able to get over you, you can't get over Nick Saban unless, and still probably in the better public opinion, you won't be able to, but unless you go succeed where Nick failed. You go to Washington, more bund, with a question at quarterback, with a question at leadership, with a question at ownership, and even in the fan base. And you go to a place like Washington, and you're able to work with your former quarterback and get things going in the right direction. For Urban Meyer, who looks good behind a TV desk, I wonder when you get bored, you might already be, I wonder if those competitive juices are still simmering inside. I bet they are. And I'm more than willing to say that if you were to name your price, I think Dan Snyder would be interested. Because if you're Urban Meyer, you got to think, I'll start off at $18 million. I'm willing to accept $15 a year, which would be an incredible sum. What would bump up the pay of Bill Belichick and do a lot. It would be an incredible sum of money, but you're able to conduct that because you've retired and you've accomplished all your life's goals. You could take or leave the Washington job. And Dan Snyder knows that, so I say you start out at $18 million, but maybe you're willing to take $15 million a year. And then you go, you know what? I know you love Bruce Allen, and I know you think that he could help you get a new stadium. You're going to fire Bruce Allen because Bruce Allen gets in the way. Bruce Allen's making decisions on this football team that aren't the best for this football team. I want to be in charge. You're going to go out, you're going to get another guy. He's going to be a GM, but he's going to be a capologist because I don't have the time to be adding numbers and crunching dollars and cents. So you're going to go do that. Now, I'm going to go back to my TV desk, and I'll sign your deal, but I'm going to be back at my TV desk, and I'm still going to be talking to college coaches because now everything's all perfectly legal. And at the end of this year, we'll make ourselves an agreement. And I will officially be your head coach. But during that time, I'm going to go talk to college coaches. I'm going to go watch college football just like I did when I went to Ohio State. And I was in the booth the year before I took over the Ohio State job. Just like I did at Ohio State. And I'm going to go watch college football. And I'm going to start my own little recruiting deal because that's what I do. And I'm going to get ready for the NFL draft so we can hit the ground running. And so you have a plan. And Dan Snyder's going to go, man, $18 million is a lot. Yep, winning a Super Bowl isn't cheap. And you've already spent a ton of money. Because if you're Urban Meyer, you got national championship rings, and you're saying you can provide a Super Bowl. You're going to do what Barry Switzer did. You're going to do what Jimmy Johnson did. You're going to do it. You're going to be the guy who comes back and does it. Or you can still stay behind a desk. You can go to USC. have a ton of pressure. Wait for that Notre Dame job to open up. Brian Kelly's always asking for three more years, or not asking, but saying, oh, maybe in 3 years I'm going to retire. And then 3 years goes by and he's still not going to retire. And Brian Kelly does a very fine job. So when do you guarantee that that Notre Dame job's going to be open? It's just a question of what you want. And for Urban Meyer, I don't know if he'll ever draw parity with Nick Saban. Nick Saban's the coach of the generation. And Nick always found a way to get his players motivated, where I do think over the last 4 years, Ohio State football, dare I say, got a little soft. Losing to Purdue like that on the road, losing the way they did to Penn State, who wasn't very good at that time, losing the way they did to Iowa. Nate Stanley, I think, still scoring touchdowns. That's why he can't score touchdowns against anybody else. He's scoring too many touchdowns against Ohio State 2 years ago. At least, maybe not soft, but you lost your edge. You were great against Michigan. You always get up for the Michigan game. You always get up for bowl games. But are you going to be able to get over that hump? It's no coincidence. Ryan Day, that team, they're sharper. It's because he's different. They're playing for him. Urban, it became an NFL factory. And Nick Saban's able to change that. Dabo's doing his best to change that. Urban, why don't you just go to the place that you preach that you were going to send guys for years? Go to the NFL. Go to Washington. We'll see how it works out. And if it does work out well, there's always going to be an argument by guys like me whether or not that you were over the top and got over Nick Saban in that regard, because you could do something that Nick Saban never did. I do want Urban Meyer to coach again. I think he's fun for football in general. I think he'd be a blast for the NFL to talk about and whether or not he'd work. I think he's a blast to talk about if he came back and coached in college football, and I'm still convinced he will at some point. I don't know with who. I do want it to be with USC. I'm not going to deny any of that. I think he will, and I want him to. 855-212-4CBS. It does draw on a bigger question, because for Washington, I think Washington could do a number of things. If you wanted to go the college route, and Urban Meyer's pie in the sky, and Nick Saban and Dabo Sweeney and that stuff, and Lincoln Riley, you're not going to get those guys. You're not getting Ryan Day. Ryan Day was asked earlier this week. He shot it down. Ohio State's too good a job. You got billionaires. You got a board of regents. You got plenty of security if you're good. You have plenty of power. Everybody loves you. You don't leave a place like Ohio State, because if you go and you fail in Washington, you don't know if you're getting a better job than Ohio State. If you want to go the college route, hear me out, Washington. Why not, and you're going to think I'm going to say Matt Campbell, not Matt Campbell. Why not Matt Rhule from Baylor? Took over a horrible situation at Baylor. Art Briles left that program in shambles, went out and took it on the chin for a year, and then took a great situation where it's a beautiful campus on a beautiful river with a beautiful, relatively brand new stadium, took that program and turned it into something respectable again. It's Art Briles without the sleaziness right now. It's also a job that you don't have to stay at if the NFL comes calling. Oklahoma and Lincoln Riley, Barry Switzer said it best. And it's the same thing I say for Ryan Day. It's the same thing I would say for Dabo Sweeney, or maybe even Kirby Smart. Maybe even Ed Orgeron. Ed Orgeron and Kirby Smart, the college guys. Dabo's a college guy. But if we were going to do that and we were going to have that conversation, those are schools that I don't know if it gets better for you. I don't think it gets better for you playing on Sunday. But Baylor's a place that, yeah, it could get better for you playing on Sunday. And even if you fail at Washington or somewhere else, you might be able to get yourself an even better job than Baylor. You might be able to do that. Now, there'd be Baylor people who disagree. Fine, I'd hear you out on that all day long. That's okay. Maybe I'm seeing it from 1,500 miles away. But you'd have a much better situation headed for you. And Matt Rhule's already proven he can turn around a program. Proven, underline that word. Proven he can turn around a program. He can get it going in the right direction, and he can do that with what I do not see any NCAA violations. There's a possibility of that working. But if you go to the NFL, it's a different level. Your offense will work differently, but maybe Sean McVay, and I know I'm practicing the danger of what I brought up a million times before, but maybe Sean McVay can change the tide of the way it's thought of. And owners are always looking for the next big thing, always looking for the offshoot of the next big thing. Sean McVay's the next big thing. Matt Rhule is relatively young. Matt Rhule has a relatively great offensive, defensive, special team scheme. Could probably coach it up. because you got to be able to coach guys up to win and make game adjustments at a place like Baylor. If you're winning quickly, it's not just going to be talent and system. You have to be able to coach to the opponent you're playing, and you have to be able to make in-game adjustments. And they have a little bit longer of a time in college, but he's already proven he could do those things. So if you do want to go the college route, I'm not saying it's a 100% slam dunk. I never could. But I don't think you could pass up on looking at a guy like Matt Rhule at Baylor. I don't know why a guy would want to leave. I don't know why a guy would want to go to the NFL in general. It's bigger money. It might be more prestige. You don't have to deal with 18-year-olds. You don't have to deal with traveling around all throughout the year and sitting in a kid's living room and talking to that kid and convincing mom and forcing down another slice of pecan pie and forcing it and saying all the same shtick that you had to back when you were at Southeast Missouri State, then when you were at Akron, then you were at Minnesota State, then when you were with the Orlando Breakers. You didn't want to do any of that stuff. I don't know why a guy would want to go to Sundays. I don't know why anybody would want to do something like that. When you have that much power and that much prestige in a lot of these schools. But a guy like Matt Rhule, I think a guy like Matt Rhule might make some sense down there. 855-212-4CBS. Let me get to Rob in Clearwater. He's next up on CBS Sports Radio. It's the end of the show. Might as well get him in. Go ahead, Rob.
Yes, sir. How are you?
Horrible.
You know, I'm Florida here. I was here when Tebow was playing for the Gators, and 30 arrests for the team in 3 years, when Meyer was here. And then he left under a cloud of Ohio State with that domestic violence. I don't think he's a man to hire character-wise for any program.
For the Washington Redskins?
Anybody? Why would anybody want a guy with character like that, with 30 arrests and then the domestic violence? They allowed that guy to remain. I think that he did the right thing, bow out, slide out of there quietly, and now he's an analyst. I don't think he should go back to coaching. Who would want a guy with character? Question.
It's perfect in the NFL. If a guy gets arrested by the Washington Redskins, that's a legal matter. It's a job. It's not a program. He's not expected to oversee it. You get what I'm saying here. He's like a boss like anybody else.
I hear you, but just the idea of the man's character doesn't look that tremendous.
Oh, but there's plenty of guys. And, Rob, you know this as well as I do. You're in SEC country. You're in ACC country. It's big-time college football and big-time football in general down there. I don't need to worry about a guy's character in the NFL. Let's take off the gloves for a second. There's been plenty of good guys who have been fired in the NFL. I don't need you to be a good guy. That's the beauty of Urban. I could say Urban's a complete piece of garbage without any retribution in the NFL. I wouldn't care. Because you know what? As long as that team were 11-5 and Dwayne Haskins looks good, nobody gives a damn. Nobody cares. Urban could go out and be stopping short of just committing crimes. He could be an utterly reprehensible person. But if you're in the NFC Divisional Playoffs and in the NFC Championship game, ain't no one going to care. Big thanks to everybody who joined us today. Ryan Hickey, Shep, Billy Jack, Kevin Dexter, the great Darwin Zook. Rob, it's a great call to end it. I loved it, brother. And I thank you very much for listening. Anthony Lima up next on CBS Sports Radio.
Baseball is back. Basketball is heating up. And the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.